Paying attention to the drought in North Dakota, it's obviously increasing in intensity in Minnesota as well. From a state level, are there some things that can be done, Tom?
Yeah, there really are. I think that some of the things we're looking at is, do we open up some of our state lands and make them available for grazing and haying? The DNR owns quite a bit of farmland in the state and has different areas that are available for grazing. And so making that aware to producers who are looking in certain areas. Also, our Board of Water and Soil Resources holds RIM easements, which are similar to CRP, and looking at if there's managed grazing that can be done on those. And then at the state level, too, we have the Rural Finance Authority, or RFA, which can unlock some zero-interest disaster recovery loans. And we're considering that. And that loan, actually, not that farmers need another loan, but it's a 0% interest. So we'll be deciding that in the next week or two, depending on how these rains and the drought monitor shows where we're at. And so there's different options. And then, of course, you know, talking to the federal government, too, about opening CRP early before that August 1st deadline.
Yeah, a lot of things happening all at once here. Over the weekend, obviously, the governor signed off on that ag finance bill. From your perspective, how does this bill position Minnesota agriculture for the future?
You know, Don, I was really excited that the one thing I always want to point out in that bill is that it passed the Senate 63-3 and the House 112-20. So getting both parties to agree on things in a broad area is really great. And so I think that's what, you know, speaks to this bill, that really it will really, you know, help us put E15 in more pumps across the state, especially those smaller stations. It's really going to help build our livestock processing, really trying to get more slaughter capacity at these smaller plants in the state. It really helps us attack Palmer Amaranth through our noxious weed grants. It continues to grow our hemp, our value-added programs, our dairy livestock programs, as well as things like farm-to-school grants and just operational budgets within the department. So really, really is, I'm excited to get this bill put to work for Minnesota and really continue to grow our agriculture.
You know, there's all the talk about a government shutdown if they don't meet the June 30th deadline. But for agriculture, that's passed. We've got the bill passed and we're all signed and we're all in good shape, right?
Exactly. So the governor signed the bill Saturday, and that's a big relief to our 500 employees that are mostly spread out across the state, you know, and to work hard and have that in uncertainty is been a challenge, you know. And I think I want people to know behind the scenes the agriculture bill has been done actually for quite a while. It just got caught up in some different things, and you know, it's a relief to have that done. And you know, it's hard to, with Minnesota being the only state with divided government, where the House is controlled by Democrats, the Senate's controlled by Republicans, and you know, we had to get to agreements, which we did. And so onward and upward.
That infrastructure bill on the ethanol and the biofuel sector, it's great to see that combination. Minnesota corn obviously stepped up in addition to what the lawmakers did, the legislature did this session.
You know, that's a great point. So, you know, with the $3 million per year ongoing for the next 4 years, the corn growers came in as we were debating the bill and dedicated $1 million in matching dollars if the government came through, and which we did. And so it's going to be really exciting in that. Minnesota already is a leader in the nation in E15 pumps. We see them going in all over the state, and that 88 octane really increasing. And so this is going to be a huge positive for all of Minnesota.
Tom, are you getting much feedback or questions on that Clean Cars initiative? I know it's not necessarily out of your department, but I'm sure farmers are talking about it.
You know, I think they are, and it's been a big issue, and that was one of the things that I worked on. It's, you know, the Clean Cars initiative is part of an overall effort by the administration to reduce greenhouse gases, and part of the piece that the governor put forward in including the Clean Cars was the ethanol and E15 infrastructure. That they that everything, we need an all hands on deck approach to dealing with this. And so that was the one piece that I have. I think that you're starting to see as this went forward, different rural dealers saying this is something actually that they can work with. They know that this is what's coming. And so I think the opposition has been easing quite a bit to it. We'll just have to figure it out and move forward. We have a few years to work on it all. And so I think that we'll continue to see how to make it best work for Minnesota.
Switching gears to the vaccination process, rural Minnesota, at least at one point, was lagging behind the metro as far as the percentage of the population getting vaccinations. Is that still the case?
Yeah, it really is, Don, and it's interesting. Though Minnesota as a whole in the upper Midwest is doing very strong, and we don't see the problems with the variants that our neighboring states are seeing right now, whether it's the Dakotas or Iowa. We're over 50% of the new cases are with these variants. We don't see that in Minnesota. So as a whole, Minnesota is doing good on the COVID vaccine, but the rural areas do lag. I think my county here, Pine, is one in the bottom five. And so you really need to move that forward. I think it's so important. We knew from ag processing last year that farmers sell their goods. They depend on the workers and plants being healthy, and that's been really good to see our plants have great efforts to get their workers vaccinated. And we just want to remind people that as it's kind of been going a while, that it's easy to sign up through the connector or your provider and get the shot for free and go about your life and everything, and just as I did. And it's just want to encourage people to continue to move forward with that.
Any feedback on why do you think those numbers are lower in rural Minnesota?
You know, I think there's, kind of wait and see. And some people, that goes forward. Also, time is just people I've talked to, they're just busy. You know, it's especially if you got to go twice and schedule that. And I think some people now are seeing that they didn't want to go in longer lines and different things, where now you can go in and make an appointment and be in and out, or you want to get the Johnson & Johnson, you can do it one and done. And so I think that it's, kind of all of the above type of thing. But it just, it's been working well. You know, I think of all the hospitalizations and deaths in Minnesota are almost completely tied now to unvaccinated people. And so we know that, and it can be prevented.